Hello and welcome once again to Crazy Comics and Stories. It's me, your charming and delightful old Uncle Rap Bastard, and at the other end of the series of tubes, wires, and Comcast cable, Joe Crazy Rider. How you doing tonight, Joe?
I got sad news.
Oh, no, we're starting with sad news again.
Yeah, but just only play like 5 seconds of it because it's not that sad.
Okay. There is all kinds of sad news that we'll be hitting later on. But sad news number one, go.
The final vestiges of My Comic Store has been totally wiped away. Back on White Street or White Bear Avenue, where my shop used to be, they used to have a little sign out on the curb that said Barb's Boutique and Christie's Comics. You know, the name named after the girl who ultimately had what was left of my store. They have now replaced that sign. So you can go up and down White Bear Avenue. You can go up and down Frost. You won't find any signs of My Comic Store at all.
So what did they replace the sign with?
I don't know, some Hmong delicatessen. I don't know. It don't really matter.
Oh.
And I want people to know, you know, we could have gone to a midnight showing of the Green Lantern. I could be playing Nukem Forever right now.
No, you can't.
But we're doing the podcast just for you people.
Just for the love of the listeners.
True.
All 1,700 of them.
And not one of them said hi to me at SpringCon. Not that I'm bitter. This isn't the type of thing I'm going to rant about for, you know, I don't know, at least till the reboot.
Oh, that's right. We're ending in August, everybody. So DC has announced all 52 number ones.
I'm sorry, I should explain.
I'll be honest. There are some of them where I went, what the hell? iVampire?
I should explain.
iVampire?
I would have liked iZombie myself, but I should explain. You know, I had set everything up to record, and all of a sudden my teenage daughter, the one just graduated high school, and two of her friends came in and decided to start cooking right where I had set up to do the podcast. So I spent the last 20 minutes running around my house trying to find a quiet place I could podcast from.
You're in the bathroom, aren't you?
No, actually, one was in the shower shaving her legs. So I'm actually in my bed. And if I'm feeling really tired and Corey bores the crap out of me for some DC launches, I may just fall asleep.
So you were in your bed?
Yeah.
We're going to get that explicit rating yet.
Well, if we didn't get it when we were talking XXX comics. You know, before we get into DC, I want to talk about something more fun. What have you read lately that excites you?
You know, the thing I read lately, I was going to bed last night, and we'll talk a little more about my inability to get a decent night's sleep. But I'm laying down, and it's, you know, I've got the big Green Lantern crossover, the War of the Green Lanterns. I'm not a big fan of, oh, it starts in this book by this writer, and then this book by this writer, and then this book by this writer, and bounce around. And I've got the first 9 parts. I said, well, you know, I'll read the first one by Geoff Johns, and that'll be good, you know, bedtime reading, because I like to read before I go to sleep. And I start reading it. Next thing I know, I'm on part 7 of the darn crossover.
I don't give away any spoilers yet, but I do have it.
I won't give away any spoilers, but there's a big part of me that wonders, well, they keep promising big changes. Who cares? It all ends at the end of August.
Boy, and I thought 2012 Mayan calendar was going to be tough.
The people I game with, even the ones who don't read comics, know about this. So I was wrong on one part. DC is getting the word out. They are buying ads on TV, I hear, too.
Well, I didn't see any in pro wrestling, so they're not getting to me.
Oh, hold on. Do you hear that?
No. Wait.
Oh, no. More sad news.
Aw.
After over 470 issues, Uncanny X-Men is being canceled.
I'm sorry, what? Who? Bees are on the what now?
Over 500 and some episodes, 500 and some issues, and now it's going away. Yeah, I know. It's sad, isn't it?
No.
Yeah. I'll be honest. It's the one book, the one long-running book that hasn't had a, oh, we're going back and doing a new number one. Hooray!
What was funny is one of the guys who used to shop at our store, Jim Thole, he used to come in and he would buy two copies of certain books. And I thought it was because he was like saving one to read and putting one away. No, he was buying them for a friend of his. And I think one of them was Uncanny X-Men. And with it ending, every time a book ended or renumbered or something, his friend would just stop buying them.
Yep. That's one of the things. I think there are a lot of people who were buying Uncanny to keep the run going. Because not as much now, but I remember at your shop, there would be people who would buy books and then they would complain about how much they don't like them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd ask them why, and they said, well, you know, I've got 300 issues in a row. I want to keep the run going. We've talked about how I felt that way, too. I swear to God, I felt that way. And I would buy series like the Fantastic Four, and I would go, well, you know, eventually it'll get better, and I don't want to have to go back and buy all those issues I missed. And then Tom DeFalco wrote stories so horrid that I said, I don't need to read this anymore. It hurts to read this. And I dropped the book. And then when it came back, I didn't read Heroes Reborn because I didn't like the creators involved. I'm not a big fan of Jim Lee, and everything Rob Liefeld touches turns to shit.
Party.
And when it came back as a new number one, it was like, oh, cool, a new number one of Fantastic Four. It looks really good. Who's right? Oh, Scott Lodell's writing it. Okay, guess I'll just keep on a-waiting. I did buy the Chris Claremont issues. They were okay. And the odd thing is, so much of the stuff that's going on in the FF now was started by Chris Claremont. And you got to say, the guy's got ideas. The guy's got ideas, and the guy can do stuff, but his writing style is so out of date for me that I just can't read it anymore.
Well, that kind of circles us back. What have you been reading?
I read the Green Lantern Corps. Actually, Box Day, because of the holiday and my own crazy schedule, I get my comics every 2 weeks. Well, I got them, instead of two Fridays ago, I got them like Tuesday after that. So really, I've only had the box for about a week and a day. And read Amazing Spider-Man. There were three issues in there. I'm loving Amazing Spider-Man. Got caught up on Green Lantern Corps and Green Lantern and all that stuff. Loved it. And Walking Dead. Walking Dead is friggin' amazing. It is the first book I read when it comes in the box. And for those of you who are reading in trade or as far behind as Joe, you have no idea how bad it's going to get.
I'll have you know, I went Sunday into Uncle Sven's, the guys who've been holding my books while I was up in Alaska. And I bought, I would say, about 90% of all the books they had on hold for me. So I've got runs of King
Lantern. So how big was that bill?
I got runs of, I can't do that, and just in case some odd chance my wife is listening to this podcast. But
more or less than a car?
Less than a car, almost close to my house payment.
Okay.
But I do have everything, and I'll have you know, one of the things I bought, I have no idea where it is in relation to you, but I did read through The Walking Dead Trades issue number, or the 13th volume.
Okay, let me look that up here. Well, to the internet, Joe.
Volume 12 says issue 72, so if you add, they usually do what, 6 to 8 in an issue?
See, I'm looking. Stay on target. Looking.
Fucking. Searching.
There we go. Trade paperbacks.
You know, I got it. It's like within
13 goes up to issue 78.
Okay, so that's where I am.
You're a little more than a year behind.
Oh.
Things get
bastards
bad. I swear,
you know,
there's
I don't know. How much? So what issue are they on now?
I believe they are on 86, 87, 88, somewhere around there. They've been coming out a lot faster.
So, I mean, tomorrow I'm actually, I've got a couple days free. My wife has taken the kids to Wisconsin Dell, and my just graduated teenage daughter is, again, like I said, cooking in my kitchen and has a car full of gas and probably will not stay at home tonight. Which is good, because tomorrow I can go run around and do a little geeking, and I may just try to just catch up and join Walking Dead as a monthly. I do like reading it as a trade. But one of the things I did at Uncle Sven's, and I don't know if I touched upon it, but they gave me a lifetime discount card. A part of the deal we did when I closed my second store, Crazy Comics, is we worked hard to get as many customers at my store over to the source to pick up their books. Because one of the things that happened when Christie's shop closed is that there was was it a month or 2 months before I actually was able to get my orders going. And most of the people, when they knew I was going to open a shop, they came and they said, yeah, we'll go with you. And I said, well, you know, shop at the source or wherever. And when you come in, if you're missing issues, I'll go and try to pick them up for you. And that actually made for an interesting first couple weeks of the shop because, I mean, I ran around almost every store I could, and I was just picking up almost, you know, little box, you know, not the long boxes, but the half boxes full of comics for people that they missed or they were just waiting for me to pick up. Unfortunately, there wasn't any super ultra hot book that I missed out on. But I was able to catch people up. Anyways, as part of when I closed, the source gave me a bunch of discount cards that were good for, I think,
a year.
Was it a year?
A year.
Okay.
Yep.
And we gave them to people to go over there so they could, you know, I said, this is the last day of my shop. The very next week, you can run over there and pick it up. And then when the con came around, that fall con, I ended up blowing everything out. But what was really cool about it was that they gave me a deal. They said I could buy wholesale from them for a number of years. And it was supposed to be 2 years. It actually ended up being about 4. And they just decided, you know, and I can't complain. They just said, okay, well, we're going to give you this lifetime discount card in lieu of a wholesale discount. I was happy with that. Part of what they did, they allowed me to, you know, if there were certain things that I had ordered that, you know, I expected to buy wholesale, now I'm buying retail. They allowed me to put some stuff back. So they were being fair about it, not like they were sticking me with a bunch of stuff. So anyways, last Sunday I went in and I finally bit the bullet. I had basically 2 magazine boxes full of stuff. I bought about a magazine and a half full of stuff. I put maybe a half back. Most of the stuff that went back were titles, largely because of the DC relaunch. I don't care. Legion of Superheroes, you know, it just started. It's now going to end. There's a few I'll probably stick out, like Booster Gold, Power Girl. I finished Brightest Night, picked up a bunch of trades, a bunch of other things. But then I went through my list, And I kind of reversed something that I've always talked about. I've always talked about I'm big on trades. I like buying the trades. I like sitting down reading the trades. But the way the trade market is nowadays, it's almost silly to buy things at full retail because you can go online, the Discount Comic Book Service. They have another site that you can buy graphic novels from with eBay, with like what you talked about at SpringCon. I mean, even Borders, you know, they constantly are sending me coupons for 30 to 40 to 50% off to go into any one item. So I went through and I pretty much told them to stop pulling any trades they were. And we're talking things like Fables, Walking Dead. I'm trying to think of other things that I buy as trades, you know, just anything. And I narrowed it down mostly to just comics that I plan to buy weekly. And a lot of the stuff we talked about, you know, there's Avengers, Booster Gold. I suppose I'll finish up Justice League. I'll finish up Action. I'll finish up Wonder Woman, you know, all these ones that are going for reboots. But afterwards, I figure what I'm going to do. Walking Dead's one of those titles where I'm thinking I may try to catch up. And if I can find those issues, and hopefully I can. I don't know if they've escalated in price the way the first few issues have.
Nope. You can find them on the rack in a lot of places still.
And then I'll just be able to read it as it goes along. I mean, it's going to kill me because there's times when you get to the cliffhanger and you're like, I'm just glad I have more graphic novel to read because it would drive me nuts to wait 30 days for the next one. But that being said, the only other things I read out of all those comics I have, including my free Comic Book Day swag, my other long box of comics I picked up at SpringCon, I said the run of Spider-Man, the run of Amazing, you know, Savage Dragon, Green Lantern Wars, Corps, whatever. You know, the first thing I pulled out of my bag to read.
I know, Joe, I don't.
Bat Boy, the complete weekly world news comic strips by Peter Begg. This is a really kick-ass collection from IDW. $17.99. He did two years on the book, and I read the first year almost immediately, and it was just like a single strip. And then by the time you get to the second one in 2005, it actually ended up more like a Sunday strip. And it's just... it's outrageous silliness. I used to love when I'd get in line at the store, and of course Dana, being a young tyke, would get all antsy. So I'd pull out the Weekly World News off the stands, and I'd tell her, "Okay, we're gonna read this. We gotta see what Bat Boy is up to." Who, she would ask? Why Bat Boy? And if I was lucky, they had an issue with Bat Boy, usually him fighting Al Qaeda or something at the time. And so I'd tell her, "Well, everything in here is absolutely true, because they just don't want you to think about it because, you know, people look at this and think it's not true." Because naturally, my wife was scoffing the whole time. Like, what are you reading her that crap for? But it kept her quiet. We were able to check out. And, of course, Bat Boy was the number one thing we were looking for every week. Needless to say, once Weekly World News stopped being on the online, I kind of lost that thing. But on a plus side, Dana was old enough now to just go read her own stuff. So,
Uh-oh.
That's okay. She likes Dawn. She likes...
No, the music.
Oh, no.
The music again.
Oh.
Sad news, everyone. When asked about the future of the Clark Kent Lois Lane marriage, Dan DiDio said in an interview with NBC, "Let's just say it's being reexamined because it's something I think it's so valuable to the character stories that you really want to explore all facets of it, not just as it exists currently." Not as it exists currently. Let's be honest, Joe. If your wife said, "You know, I'd really like to talk about our marriage," and you'd go, "Oh, what about it, honey?" And she said, "Well, not as it exists currently, but as it will exist in the future," what's the first thing you're thinking?
I would thinking that I would have a talk to Mistopheles pretty soon.
Yep, I got a feeling that the marriage is over, and it may not have ever been Which is oddly enough the solution that Grant Morrison, Mark Wade, and Mark Miller proposed back in the year 2000. They wanted to do a year-long story about how much Superman and Lois Lane loved each other, because in order to take it away, you have to make it mean something. And then they had a device that's not exactly like what Marvel did with One More Day, but very, very close. And if you want to, go online. Just go online, put in Superman 2000, Morrison Wade, and you'll be able to find the proposal they put in. I think this is a simpler solution of, well, it never happened.
Well, I have
everybody's younger.
I find something actually even more interesting. Now, have you seen pictures of the alleged new Superman costume?
Yes.
What do you notice right away is not on the outside of his pants?
His underpants.
And do you know why? Or do you suspect why?
He's finally smart enough to wear his underpants under his pants?
No, that's you. I was talking about Superman.
I don't know.
This is what I figure. I've been watching online. There's been a lot of movement in the case between the creators of Superman or their heirs against Warner Brothers / DC. The judge made them sit down, and in trying to get them to come to agreement, they had to hash out, well, this is what Jerry and Joe originally created versus this is what DC, whatever their name was way back then, Timely, I don't remember.
National,
thank you. And it got to things like, okay, Kryptonite originally appeared in the Superman radio show. That belonged to DC. Superboy, as a young Superman, belongs to Schuster and Siegel. The costume of Superman belongs to Schuster and Siegel. That's theirs. Now suddenly DC / Warner with a new Superman who's not wearing his red underwear on the outside of his pants. Coincidence? I don't know. As Jesse Ventura would say, you be the judge.
One thing about the DC costumes, you know, Jim Lee designed them all. Have you noticed that a lot of them have the kind of the upturned collars?
I can't honestly say I've been watching.
I've noticed a lot of them have what we used to call in the 80s popped collars. And the beautiful thing about the popped collar in the 80s, you know, the guys with the members only jacket and the popped collar. If someone was wearing that and looked like that, you didn't have to spend a lot of time getting to know them because, oh, look, pop collar equals douchebag. So maybe instead of DC Comics, they're going to be DB Comics for douchebag comics. Crickets enjoyed that joke. Joe didn't laugh, but the crickets liked it.
No, I'm still trying to wrap my brain around this whole DC battle thing, you know. It'll be interesting to see who prevails.
Well, we could go into the numbers, but first, we've got sponsors on this here radio show. And our first sponsor is Worldwide News at worldwidenews.solitairerose.com.
.com. .com.
Let me know when you have the headphones plugged back in.
There we go. I didn't realize
they
were unplugged.
Worldwidenews.solitairerose.com. The story of the lowest rated cable news network and the people who work there. Updated twice a week by Corey Strode and artist DB Dan Moore.
DBDanMoore.com. You know, I kind of miss Hub. We had it free for a while because Direct Dish was doing something. I got to watch some of the old Batmans, but they took it away.
Remember when you talked about the one where the girl fell in the reactor?
Yeah.
That was the pilot episode.
Oh, was it?
Because they reran the pilot. They had a, over Memorial Day, they had a marathon. And they started from episode one and ran, you know, all day long. And I'd not seen the pilot before. And I remember reading, you know, Mark Evanier and Maggie Thompson and people like that talking about how much they hated the Batman TV show. And they talked about, you know, tuning in to the first episode and how it didn't take Batman seriously. And it was just, it was stupid and goofy and blah, blah, blah. If you watch that pilot episode, it is far darker than the stuff that came just like six, seven episodes later. The Riddler was a scary psychopath in it. And, you know, people died in it. And yes, there was some goofiness and some camp humor, but it was very dark humor. And by six episodes in, they had turned into the Batman TV show we know with, you know, everything was very, very bright. Nothing was taken very seriously. By the time King Tut showed up, the, you know, he's breaking the fourth wall all the time. But it was weird how that show changed so quick. And I'll say again, I'm watching it again. I'm seeing episodes I haven't seen since I was a kid. And while I understand why everybody got so pissy about it, if you were reading Batman comics from like 1955 to 1963 or 64, you know what? The TV show took Batman far more seriously than the comics did. I mean, it's not like some professor hypnotized them to travel back in time to fight dinosaurs. Robin wasn't dying on an alien world. And there was no goddamn Batmite. We have another sponsor. DreamHost.com, the best damn web host in the whole damn internet, in the whole damn world, in the whole damn universe. Damn, damn, damn. DreamHost.com has been the web host for the Solitaire Rose family of websites since 2001. They also are the host.
Dun, dun. Boom, 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 boom.
They host over a million websites. And they're all wonderful.
We're not going to have to pay copyright on that stuff, are we?
No, nobody's going to recognize what song that is.
Okay, good.
So no! those are our two sponsors.
Cool. I want
and
to mention.
We have a third sponsor.
Oh. Let's hear her.
That's right. Chris B., who I saw Friday night in concert over at the Ginkgo Coffee House, and I was waiting. Where are my geeks at? Where are my geeks? None of you people showed up. She did a 2.5-hour show. She was selling CDs. She's going in the studio here within the next few weeks to make her second CD.
Cool.
She's going to be performing at the Pride Parade down in Minneapolis, Powder Home Park. I'm just going to click right on over at broomhildamusic.com where you can order her CD. And if you ask real nice, she'll autograph it for you. Let's see. On Thursday, July 16th, that was today, she was at the Silver Lake Auditorium. And here's the weird thing about it. She found out about it on the 15th. Silver Lake is a very small town in south central Minnesota where people plain don't talk about things like this. So she was able to go to, I think, what is it here? I have to open it up. Blah, blah, blah. Anyway, it was a fundraiser. That was today. Her next gig is Saturday, June 18th, which sadly will be after this podcast is up. But she was at the Red Rooster Coffee House in South Dakota. On Saturday, June 25th, she is at the Twin Cities Pride Fest on the Rainbow Stage at 4:30. Also, on Saturday, June 25th, she is at the Pride Fest on the main Loring Stage at 12 p.m. She is the kickoff artist. So go see her. Go to her website at broomhildamusic.com. Order some CDs. She's got some videos up there of her trip all around the U.S. Great music, great stuff. Really enjoy her work. And next time I announce that she's going to be performing here and that I'm going and I don't see any of my comic geek homies, I'm going to be very, very upset with you. Very.
So upset he might even eat a whole pie just to spite you.
I had a chocolate pudding pie today.
Ooh.
I had a lot of meetings today because I had a lot of meetings today. I didn't have time for lunch, so I grabbed a Diet Coke and a chocolate pudding pie. Mmm, now that's good eating.
Good eating.
Now, if you go to Worldwide News, you'll see we're doing a storyline about interviewing people. And I have to read today's. I hate interviewing people. I'd rather listen to Bill O'Bradley's audiobook, How I Saved the World from Chelsea Clinton and Star Trek Enterprise. I know how it is, having to go through so many powerful resumes, choosing from excellent candidates. Are you kidding? Do you think we get the top of the list? This resume was written in pudding.
It's a little bit of real life oozing into your fantasy.
The sad thing is I wrote that strip a year ago.
So what you're saying is you're not a pie guy. You're more of a pudding man.
Well, what I'm saying is that I had a lot of job interview, had a lot of people who were interviewing for jobs today. And I went through, I was out of work for 2 years. I took classes on interviewing. I read books on interviewing. I did practice interviews. And then now I'm on the other side of the table. Mm-hmm. And I swear to you, Joe, everybody screwed up their answer to every single question. Because the way we interview is, okay, tell me about a time when you blah, 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 blah. And every one of the three people I interviewed, they would start a story. Oh, there was this time at work when I blah, 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 blah. And then somebody showed me how to do it and I did it right. And there's one interview question I always throw in, because if you've taken any interview classes, they teach you how to handle it. It is a slow moving lobbed softball. And it's, tell me about a time when you received feedback. How did you accept it? And what did you change about your behavior? Now, another way people phrase this is, tell me about your weaknesses. What do you consider your biggest weakness? Now, if you've taken a job interview class, this is when you say, well, I had a time when I blah, 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 blah. And somebody pointed out that I needed to improve my this and that. And then you talk about what you did to improve and now how that is one of your strengths. And you always end with some variation of, and now that's one of my biggest strengths. I had one person who said, I am not kidding, not joking, not making this up. I really don't have any weaknesses.
Ah, that's your weakness.
I had another person say, well, this person gave me some feedback, and I didn't agree with it, but I made him write down what he wanted me to do so that I could do it the way he wanted.
Ah, moldable.
And the other person said, well, there was a time my boss told me not to swear so much, and I think I don't swear as much as I used to.
And I told him to F off, and we got along much better.
Now, how is this a tale from the shop, which is sponsored by Crispy? Crispy gives us our tales from the shop music. Joe, you had an employee named Big Mike. And no one knows how he got the job. You would ask Big Mike, well, how did you get this job? He would go, I don't know. We'd ask you. You'd say, I don't know. We'd ask other people. It's like, well, Mike just started working here. Now, I know that the two scrubs you had at the beginning were actually holdovers.
Yeah, a scrub at the time was basically an underage kid that liked comics, had nowhere else to go, and just hung at the comic store. In exchange for comics, would do things like bag and board 200 boxes of comics, put them in order, and price them accordingly. Or help load and unload at a con or whatever, you know, run for tacos, you know. That's essentially what a scrub was. And then when they finally got to be of legal age,
you booted them out the door.
No, actually, we hired Dave because he lived right across the street, and I think Jess went over to work at Hot Comics West. Now, when Dave quit, I think that might be when Mike got hired. And I don't know if it was while he – I think he was still working at Target at the time. So I can't remember if eventually he lost his Target job or he quit or what the deal was. It was just kind of a, it might have been the way it was portrayed in Crazy Comics drawn by Jess Heitlin. You know, just a, hey, who are you? I'm here to buy comics. Well, hey, I can't talk all day. I got to go get gas. Here's the thing for the case. That might have just been that. And then, of course, when Pat comes, he's like, who are you? I'm here to buy my comics, and Joe just left. Okay, I'm going back and count comic books. That's probably closer to the truth than anything. But
now, I think we talked a little about how I got hired, kind of. I was working in Edina, and I would come over on Wednesdays. Was it Wednesdays or Thursdays? I forget what day, but whatever day it was.
It changed from Friday to Thursday to Wednesday, back to Thursday, and I think it's on Wednesday now, although they get their books Tuesday. They can't put them out till Wednesday. Confused? You won't be till the next episode of Soap. I mentioned that because Corey was kind enough to send me the complete series of Soap for $20. So the next time you hear he has $20 in his pockets, it's when I pay him that $20. And you can help me pay Corey his $20. You know how?
Go Crackin' to hookers?
No, actually, it's more subtle. Go to thetoypeddler.com, look under the word crazy, K-R-Y, I can't even spell it anymore, K-R-A-Y-Z, because I've been basically putting things up on that website to sell. Yes, as long as I'm in town, I might as well start pimping my sales again. And, of course, the big thing with toypeddler.com is you can go, and if you've never sold anything and you're looking for an alternative to eBay, you can just go to his homepage and send him an email and say, down with the bay, and he'll give you $5 in free listing credits to try, all for free. And this is for new users, thetoypeddler.com. I mention this because I put up a couple of interesting things that I wanted to share. If you've ever heard of Space Battleship Yamato, or as us Americans know, Star Blazers, I've got this gorgeous model of the, what they call it? Well, they call it Yamato. I think they call it Argo in Star Blazers. It's a 1/625th scale model. It's got lots of gimmicks, sound, lights, and this baby's selling for $350 to $400 on eBay. I've got it for $300. And if you're really serious about buying it, I will ship it to you for free. Just mention you heard it on the podcast. That's the highest end thing that I've got on there.
And the lowest end thing?
Oh, I think I've got some Star Wars figures, the Demise of General Grievous, the Target exclusive, the Star Wars Clone Saga holographic General Grievous, the TRU exclusive, the Grievous that all sorts of other Grievous, just lots of Grievous things. And I got some Hot Wheels on there, too.
What about Admiral Akbar?
Akbar! I did put on a...
I always say Akbar to make Joe cry.
Bastard. I did put up a Disney exclusive, an Indiana Jones 7-inch figure that is sold out and rare. Mine's kind of beat up because I initially bought it to open. But, like, these go for, like, $100 on eBay or so. You know, I've got mine a lot less because I figure anybody's going to buy it's going to want to open one. Anyways, go there, check it out. All sorts of fun things. And, you know, I never got around to even mentioning that the Fall Con comic book party is October 15th, 2011 at the Minnesota State Fairgrounds in the Progressive Center. So I guess I'll mention that as we get closer to it.
Okay.
That's all I got to say. So anyways, if you buy some stuff, I can pay Corey. He can get his money back for his soap, and then he can give it to the web guys, and we can get back to trying to figure out just how the heck we hired Big Mike. It ties together, people. It's in Revelations.
Speaking of hiring people, now before I was crudely interrupted with shameless commerce.
Hey, don't give me no crap. I could be playing Duke Nukem now.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
They don't have it on the Wii.
Nah, but I bought it for my PC.
However,
I did buy it. I bought it at one of the local stores, but I'm going to return it because Amazon.com has Balls to the Wall or Balls of Steel Edition. That comes with poker chips. It comes with a hardcover book. It comes with a bust. It comes with oodles and oodles of fun stuff for like $40 more than the original game. But what got me to buy it is that it has an exclusive Duke Nukem comic book in it. Oh, joy. So I couldn't be playing Duke Nukem anyways.
So hiring people.
I am getting it shipped to me free, though.
I was coming over on New Comic Book Day.
Stays.
Because back then it was, oh my God, I have to have new comics the very minute they come out.
Oh, if you didn't, you were nobody.
And what Joe did is, well, you're coming from Edina. Why don't you stop by Diamond and pick stuff up?
Capital,
that's right. Well, you stop by Capital, pick stuff up, and bring it into the shop. So I did that. And after a few months of doing that, it was when you had your vacation. And it was, well, Corey, do you think you can watch the shop for a few days? Yeah.
Jump.
Okay, here's when you'll do it. Do I need to know anything about the register? Nah, you don't need to know anything about the register. Then when I did come in, it was like, Joe didn't show me where to turn it on. And I'm flipping buttons on the register, and I'm turning keys, and I'm doing this, and there was a little power strip underneath the wooden thing that was next to impossible to get to. No, nobody told me that you had to flip that switch to turn on the register. So for a half hour to 45 minutes, people would come in, and I was making change out of my pocket and putting the money in this drawer. And finally, the drawer was getting too full of, like, stuff, because that was back when you had the long credit card receipt and everything. And the drawer was stuffed, and it wouldn't close. And finally it was, oh, what's this? Oh, this is a, God damn it, it's a power strip. Bling, there we go.
Yes, Corey joined the 20th century that day.
So there was a time in the big shop when you started actually hiring people. You did payroll and everything.
And everything.
So why don't you tell us a little about, because I think.
Oh, my. Christina Hendricks is hot. Holy moly. I'm sorry. What? What are we talking about?
Speaking of Christina's, why don't you tell a little about how you hired Christy? Because I don't know anything about that story. And then we'll talk a little about the two teenagers you hired toward the end of the show. And how one of them lost his job. We won't go into detail as to how he lost his job, but we'll tell it in the funniest way possible.
Well, it's that, or I'm going to look at Christine pictures. I don't remember how Christy hired. I've got to figure the sequence of events, because it was Big Mike.
This was a highly efficient operation.
It was. I mean, seriously, when Pat was my partner, I came in one day and Pat told me he hired a girl to work, some teenage girl. And I don't ever recall meeting her before she actually, I was like, Pat, where is she? Is she ever going to work? Oh, no, the family moved out of town. She left. Seriously. I'm going to have to sit down with Pat.
Oh, my God, I never heard that story.
I'm going to have to sit down with Pat. I got to sit with Pat and find out what the heck happened there, because it was like she was there, she was gone. I think I recall working with her maybe one day, and I'm like, who are you? I'm your employee. Oh. Oh, man, it was just nuts.
Oh, I probably just scared the neighbors all to hell.
They're like, oh boy, he's tickling himself again. Hey, why is there a big negative red mark by your, oh, how nice. Do you know Facebook has you pegged where you're working?
Yes. I put that in there.
Yeah, and apparently there's a little negative symbol by your name.
Oh, really? Why?
It says Solitaire Rose.
On Facebook?
Start call. Oh, you know what?
You're looking at Skype.
No, but Skype is put its symbol on your name on your Facebook page.
Oh,
working. Interesting. Huh.
I did not know that.
Skype, they're everywhere, I'm telling you.
Yep. Okay.
Off the Facebook. Okay, where were we? Okay,
Christy.
The Phantom Girl. Okay. Dave left. The scrub. Big Mike, I think he came in a comic box. I really don't remember. I remember hiring Little Mike. Because the best part about Little Mike, and we laugh to this day, the first day Mike came into work, and I have no idea why I hired Mike. I think he was a guy, Little Mike, that is. He bought like almost one of every Image comic. And I think he was a point like he didn't have a job, and he was fairly personable, and I liked working with him. Or I liked him, so I offered him the job, and he accepted. The first day he came in, we're in the back of the shop, and it's basically Big Mike, Little Mike, and me. And we've got comic boxes open. We got the subscription service moved to the back of the store. We're laying out books, and basically I would pre-print everybody's order according to title ahead of time. So when the books came, okay, we got 100 copies of Batman. I need 85 for subscribers. The rest go on the shelf. So anyways, we were just going through it, and I would go through and I'd pull like the onesies, twosies, because I mean, if you came to me and you wanted a title, even if I wasn't planning on putting on the shelf, I'd order it for you. And who am I to say no? So no, I mean, I don't want to get on a soapbox here because I don't have any box or soap. Maybe that's why Chris left for the weekend. Anyways, if somebody came to me and said, I want this, I would go move heaven and hell to get you, because it was a sale and you were kind enough to at least tell me you wanted the business. I mean, you hear stories after stories, and less so because I think a lot of these shops are gone now, where you'd say, well, I'd like to order such and such. You can't. Nobody buys it, blah, blah, blah. You know, if you said you wanted it, I would get it for you. Anyway, so I would spend, and literally, we're talking, if I got, say, 10 long boxes worth of comics that were going to go into subscriptions or onto the shelf, literally one to two of those long boxes would be special orders for people that only wanted one. And Corey can attest to this because you were one of my biggest subscribers. I didn't care what it was. You wanted it, you got it. I'd make sure I ordered it for you. So Big Mike's working on maybe A's, Little Mike's working on the B's. I'm working on the end backwards, trying not to get in each other's way. I start off, and then Big Mike and Little Mike is caught in between us. Like, what the hell? And I go, I'm sorry, Mike. You got to learn to keep up with us if you're going to hang with us. Better to get ourselves aired out before the shop opened.
Oh, God.
Now, the one guy I could never pin down as an employee was Butch. Because he would come in, and he was marvelous. I mean, the guy would basically lift 12 long boxes while you and I were both struggling with one. And he would put stuff on his shelf. He would pull. I basically paid him under casual labor. You know, he would come in when he wanted to. He didn't. But actually, I offered him a job. I mean, and he never took it for whatever reason. I think he just liked hanging and getting his comics free. His number one claim to fame,
other than putting me through a table.
Oh, yeah. And I still think I have that table in my garage. That was a couple of weeks ago when I was cleaning out my garage, and people noticed on my Facebook I started putting up things from comic shops past. We talked about it last podcast. And all that stuff is either under the table, propping it up, or on the table. So as I move stuff, I got to keep the table from re-collapsing. The one thing I remember about Butch is, well, a lot of things. I mean, he's a fantastic guy. But he was helping me one day, and this had to be after Dave left, but before Mike was hired. It was about when Venom 1 came around. And we were pulling the books and looking through them, and we ran across the infamous Venom, where, if you remember that Venom comic, it was red foil with black ink on it. This one was a mirror opposite. It was all black ink, and where the red was, where the red foil was supposed to be was the black ink, and vice versa. Where the ink was supposed to be, you could see the red foil coming through. It was a printer malfunction. It just happened at a certain run, and of course, I looked at it, and I'm thinking, well, I'll just send it back. And Butch thought, hey, that's pretty cool. Can I have it? And I said, Yeah, just buy it cover price. I don't care. That's one less return I have to deal with. Ended up being a $300 legitimate variant. I'm not talking about a manufactured variant or a retailer variant. I'm just talking a variant that was such a mistake that nobody even knew about it until it was too late. And a couple of guys I know to this day will tell the story where, well, we tried to buy it from Butch, but he said no. Because Bill was a guy who liked his comics.
Now, toward the end of the shop, we had these girls who hung out in the shop who we called the Teenage Fan Club.
Yep.
And I don't think they ever bought a comic their whole entire life. They just liked hanging out at the shop and pestering me.
They were big on Pokemon. And some of them played Magic, because that's what got them coming in at first, because we used to have singles of that. And it didn't last long, but there was a distinct phase where they were actually buying Pokemon, and I think that's what brought
them. Oh, wow. I just remember them coming in to pester me, and there was one time when you dared them to ask me questions, and one of them said, are you a vampire? And she was utterly and completely serious.
Oh.
And I think I talked about there was one time there was one of them named Star.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just kept pestering and pestering and pestering. Finally, I put her in a headlock until she said she would leave me alone. I released the headlock, and about 5 minutes later, my arm just got these huge welts on it. Just, oh my God, it was horrible. And what it was, her makeup was toxic and had caused this horrible allergic reaction on my arm. I washed it off. That didn't help. And I had to go down. There was a drugstore a little ways away. And they said, oh, you know, you put this on it and everything. And she puts this on her face? How is her head not the size of a beach ball? Oh. But one of them you actually hired for like, I don't know, a month or so.
No, she was with us for a while. Because I do remember, I think at that time, Big Mike, did he leave yet? No, I don't remember. What I'm remembering is there was a comic show where it was I think Big Mike was there and he was working the con. And Little Mike and I would set up. But at the time we hired Casey and I think her name was Devon.
Okay, I don't even remember Devon working there.
She didn't work there. She would just show up because she lived on another side of town, but she helped at the con. And what happened was is they decided they were going into battles with each other to see who would get the most money. Now, you've got two young teenage girls and you have comic geeks. Mike and I basically sat back the entire con and watched these two hustle the comic geeks for sales. And I gotta admit, good con, they did an awesome job. I mean, it was just amazing. I think this was back when it was at the Thunderbird Hotel in Bloomington, Minnesota. And I would you'd walk in and I'd be on the right hand side. And, I just sat back and watched them work. And it was amazing. I think the only reason we didn't hire Devon is because she didn't live on near the shop. It was hard for her to get over there. And then I hired Joe.
Another Joe?
Yep.
Oh, now, I bet that got confusing.
I can't remember if Big Mike was there or not. And I think he was, because at one time I think I had as many as five people on payroll. And this had to be... This was when I moved. This was in the last 3 years because it was a 1,000-foot square shop. And then I moved over into a 3,000-square-foot store, really expanded the store. What was amazing is when we made that move, you know, we moved everything from the little store to the big store. And by the time we finished merchandising the big store, we were like, my God, we need a bigger store. How did we fit all this crap in 1,000 square foot? We could barely merchandise it on 3,000. What was nice is instead of having like a rack 5 foot deep of X-Men toys, you could put individual figures on their own peg hook, which was nice. So eventually Big Mike left because he needed
a real job.
And I wasn't able to do it. And in the meantime, I remember I had to let Joe go for being very enthusiastic over adult comics. Enough said. And
Casey, I'm an HR person. I am an HR person, and that's what he did was one of the things that we don't even put in our. This is the worst thing you could do on a job example. And I got to be honest, the fact that you were so calm about it was amazing, because there's a reason Joe is called Crazy Writer. Joe would blow up at the drop of a hat. You would come in, drop a hat on the floor, Joe. Why the hell did you drop this hat on the floor? What are you trying to do? You don't understand how hard it is. And when the Joe thing happened, and we don't need to go into detail about it, but I want to talk a little about, I came in and Casey was doing stuff. And was Christy still working for you, or was she just?
I don't think I hired her yet.
But she was there all the time.
Yeah, she was there.
And little Mike was there. And all three of them were doing stuff. And it was like, yeah, this is the Tuesday. What the hell? And I was like, well, you got every employee here. I said, yep, now that you came in, gang's all here. I said, well, what about Joe? Oh, Joe's not here anymore. Oh, what happened? Well, I can't tell you right now. Let's go out for pizza afterward. And, you know, we finished up the shop. We walked down to, what is the name of that horrible pizza place at Angelo's?
Yep.
Gruber loves it.
They made me a spam pizza once.
Oh.
It was good.
Oh. Anyway, we go down there.
She used to bring her own ice cream in, remember? We'd ask for special flavors, and she'd go, Tracy was our, we must have put Tracy's kid through college or something.
Yes, I think we did. Well, she brought in not just special ice cream, but special toppings just for us.
Yep.
And we go to the pizza place, we order a pizza, and we're sitting there talking. And after about 10 minutes of you not telling, I said, Joe, you got to tell me what he did. Because I know you. You can't fire people. You keep me around, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but you brought in wrestling.
Yeah, but there were other, let's just say that some of your employees, Dave, were not customer service friendly, yelled at people a lot for what they bought.
Hey, Henry Rollins at the top of the decibel level. I remember coming in one day, I said, Dave, you know, really, you don't need to play Henry Rollins over and over. You can just play one of his songs. It's just like he's yelling at the top of his lungs. No way, man. Henry Rollins has different songs all the time. They're great. And Butch vindicated me. Well, I'm sorry, Dave. Joe's right. It's all the same song. He's just yelling at the top of his lungs.
He's just yelling different words. So Joe tolerated a lot from his employees. And if you've been to comic shops, they're not exactly the places where your people with excellent customer service skills tend to gravitate toward.
Yeah, they go to Walmart.
And he told me, and I sat stunned, which is hard to do. Joe could tell you, I'm not stunned speechless often. But I was stunned speechless, and I said, and did you blow up at him? Did you yell at him? No, I just told him to go home.
Yeah. Shortly after that, because sales were starting to drop, this was towards the end of the 90s, I let Christy go. Not Christy, Casey. And I think that's when Big Mike left. And little Mike was with me. And somewhere along the line, I think that's when we got Christy involved. Because she, Christy
was there all the time.
Well, she was there all the time. She just kind of, I don't know if she did like you, just kind of started working things or putting things out. She had really good merchandising ideas. To this day, I still think she has the nose for retailing. She may not have the financial backing to take care of it, but, you know, there were things she did with her shop when she finally bought what was my shop that got sold to her that I thought were brilliant, you know.
I agree.
And,
well, she took your idea.
I've got a rant for the end of the broadcast, but I'll save it till then. Remind me about it. But
she had this wonderful idea because she sat down with me and she said, what am I missing? What don't we have? And I remember I wrote up a really long thing that wasn't quite a business plan, but it talked about there's so many shops in the Twin Cities. You have two advantages. One, you've got built-in customer base so that if you order your comics smartly, you can't lose money. Because she had a lot of subscribers. And the second was, you need to think about the fact that you have something most comic shops don't. You have walk-by traffic. Most comic shops are a destination stop. That's why most comic shops, they can't afford big rent. So they're in crappy little out-of-the-way places for the most part. And you have to go out of your way to go to them. She was on a main thoroughfare with regular retail around her, with a Dairy Queen across the street and tons of kids walking by. Mm-hmm. And what she would do, she would go to outlet stores and thrift shops and places like that and just load up on kids' toys. Just load up on them. Stuff that if you went to Target would be, $7-8 for a stuffed animal. She would have it for $3 because she got it for $1.
She just had a knack of finding and dealing. She had a way of talking with other retailers. I mean, Big Mike was phenomenal at this, too. I'd give Big Mike $500, and he'd come back with $5,000 worth of comics. And I'd be like, it got to the point, like, when we'd do cons, I'd make sure I had the Mikey fun. He would go off and just find things, It was either because I wasn't willing to deal or I just didn't want to dig, and, we always made sure to look at the shop's inventory before we left so we knew what we were looking for. If Gen 13 was the hot book, he would come back with tons of hot books. Whatever the hot book of the day was, he was able to find it and just deal with it.
Stop! Hold on! We have good news! Good news, everyone!
Do we have good news music?
No, we don't, because we're usually given bad news, but I can actually say that the bad news we had earlier is now good news.
Oh?
Announced just hours ago. The X-Men has announced Uncanny X-Men number 1 in November.
Oh, God, look at the time.
They will also have Wolverine and the X-Men number 1 in October.
Jeez, how long have we been working? Oh, I'm sorry. This ain't working, boys.
Now, I don't like to talk about what we're going to do in our next episode.
Because we never do it.
Well, this time we are. And, Joe, the idea that we talked about, I'm going to bump for a week because I just got an email request.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the comic book collapse of 1986 to 1988. Now, we've talked a lot about in the 90s how comic sales cratered and then there was only one distributor left. But that was not the first comic book sales collapse. In the wake of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, there was a huge boom in self-published black and white books. And by 1988, it was over. And someone has asked us to talk about that. So I'm going to be doing some research. And then we're going to be discussing it next time. The time after that, I don't care if I got to drag Joe kicking and screaming into this. We're going to sit down and do an All Tales from the Shop episode. And it will be about if you owned a comic shop.
Yes.
If you owned a comic shop, how would you order DC's 52 number one issues?
Oh, let me get back to my yawn.
You've wasted a little over an hour listening to Joe and I ramble on about funny books. And for the last 2-3 minutes, you've just heard me ramble on about funny books. So, we'll be back next week. And remember, the comic that we like the least, we still like better than the comic you like the most.